So this morning, what I want to share with you just a bit, I don't know how your week has been, but lately I'm finding that every morning when I wake up, I have this bit, and it's just a bit, but this is like a residual of anxiety that gets up with me. And I have found myself saying to God, "So God, what am I going to be facing today? What will I be reading today? What will I be hearing about today? How are things going to change in our world?" And listen, I'm limiting myself to the number of news stories I read. I want to know the facts. I want to know where things stand, so I'll read that. But I'm really, really cautious about engaging in some of the media outlets that just seem to try to predict the worst case scenario of what we could be expecting. And just, you know, for me, too much of that is just, it's not a good thing. It doesn't put my head in a good headspace. And I think as I've said before, I think one of the biggest struggles is living in this sense of unknown. We don't know when this is going to end. And it's what it is. It's a feeling, for me anyway, it's a feeling of I'm not in control. And see, I'm a type of guy who likes my ducks in a row, and right now my ducks have migrated. So that is really, really, it's a challenging time for me. And so if you like your ducks in a row, I can commiserate with you. But it's much like what Dr. Fauci in the US told reporters, it's the virus that sets the timeline, not us. And that's a stark reminder for me. We're not in control. Not the scientists, not the researchers, not the medical experts. We're not in control. Now, saying that, I am convinced that we will get through this. I have no idea what the next few weeks or months or the next year is really going to look like. None of us do. But I do know that humanity will get through this. We'll be a bit wounded and scarred, maybe. But things will have changed in our world. In the sense, we'll have a new appreciation. I know I do already, for community, for my neighbors, for people. Hey, I'm an introvert and this is tough going. So the introverts are now praying for the extroverts. But I believe that when we get through this, we'll come out and once again, we'll flourish and we'll prosper once again. Human beings are quite resilient. But this anxiety still sits with me. It's there. It's not roaring, but every now and then I feel its presence. And it interferes with my quiet time. It interferes when I'm trying to enjoy something. Even when I'm praying, it interferes with me. And just different times throughout the day, it'll creep in. And I just got to push that, tell it to just stay down. Because I just can't get swallowed up by that. And so I started saying to God, and this is one of the things I wonder, I have no idea how people went through some of the atrocities in our world and human history, or some of the pandemics, or some of the wars and the battles, and some of the just the pain and the suffering that people have gone through and have come out the other side. And I don't know how they dealt with that going through and the anxiety. It's just one of those things I talked to God about. And I just sense God saying to me, "Scott, you're right. Humanity will get through this." But the question I sense he's asking for me is, how are you going to choose to go through this? And that has led me into a lot of pondering and praying and listening. Because that question, how are you going to choose to go through this, says that I do have a choice what my posture is going to be during this time. And so I didn't know where to start with answering that question. And as I prayed, what did come to mind was the words that Jesus said to Peter when he said, "Who do you say I am?" Now, that we all know the answer to that. We could get 100% score on that answer if it was a written test. But what I really sensed the Spirit saying to me was, Scott, who does your life say that I am? How does the way you live your life say that I am? And that's getting down to the nitty-gritty of that question. And as I thought and I prayed about it, what came to mind, and I don't know how this is connected, but it's the story that Matthew, Mark, and Luke tell of when John the Baptist baptized Jesus. And I'm going to read to you from Matthew 3, starting at verse 13 through to 17. And this is what Matthew records, and I'm reading from the New Living Translation. But this is what he records. Then Jesus went from Galilee to the Jordan River to be baptized by John. But John tried to talk him out of it. I am the one who needs to be baptized by you, he said. So why are you coming to me? Which is a fair question. I think we would all ask the same question. Why are you wanting to be baptized? You need to baptize me. Matthew goes on, but Jesus said, it should be done, for we must carry out all that God requires. So John agreed to baptize him. And after his baptism, as Jesus came up out of the water, the heavens were opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and settling on him. And a voice from heaven said, this is my dearly loved Son, who brings me great joy. That's a profound story, because there's so much in there. It's so rich. But here's the puzzling thing about this passage. In Hebrews, the writer of Hebrews says that he makes this statement that Jesus was tempted in all things but did not sin, which leads to the question, and the church affirms that statement, that Jesus was without sin, that Jesus, there was no sin found in him. But then, so why the baptism? You know, why did you want to ask Jesus, so why did you need to be baptized? Because when we speak of baptism, and we get this from Romans, how Paul describes it, we talk about that dying to ourselves, and then as we come out of the water, we're raised to new life in Christ. So you have to ask, so what is it for Jesus? What was this whole thing all about? And what does this have to do? And I did ask God that. What does that have to do with the question you've posed to me? And what does it have to do with what we're going through right now in our world? And for that, you know, I just sensed I needed to go back to the beginning of Scripture, back to the story of creation, of the creation of humanity, who was what? Created in God's image. And God's intention for us all along was to live on this earth in this close, intimate relationship with God and God with us. It was never God created something and then said, okay, I'm done. Good luck with this, guys. Go at it. It was God wanting to work. It was this relationship of love that God had intended all along. But as we know in the story of the Genesis account, that relationship was fractured. And what you see from there on is this unfolding story in Scripture of God's pursuit to restore that relationship. So let's fast forward to Jesus' request to John the Baptist to be baptized. And the question we need to ask is, what's actually going on here when Jesus is baptized by John? One of the things I want to mention here is that in this story of the baptism, I just want to get right to the point here. What you actually see is this display of the love that God, the God of this universe, has for humanity. What you're seeing in Jesus' baptism is God immersing himself in our suffering and in our pain and in our fear that we have in this world. I would describe it as it's the tangible fulfillment of Isaiah's prophecy that the Messiah will be called Emmanuel, God with us. And here you see this tangible working out of that God with us there in the baptism of Jesus. Jesus being with humanity, not apart from humanity, but with us in our pain and in our suffering. And it's going back to that core of what Scripture teaches us, that God is love. And what does love do? What's the ultimate? Love lays down its life for another. It's what Jesus said in John's Gospel, chapter 15, verse 13. He says, there is no greater love than to lay down one's life for one's friends. Where is God in all of this? Everything we're going through? He's with us. God is with us. God's love for you, much like a parent's love for their child, doesn't change with the winds of time. Doesn't change with the pandemic that's going on in the world right now. Here's something. Throughout Scripture, various names are given to God. And what the writers are doing, and what the Hebrew people were doing, was revealing the various natures and the various attributes and quality of God, of who God is. And those names that were given to God are God's names for us today. They're just as true today as they are in prosperous and healthy times. Two names to think about. God is Jehovah Jireh. That's one of the names that is given, which means God is our provider. God is the God who provides for us. The Lord will provide. And that name stands when times are good and today as well. Another name is Jehovah Rapha, the Lord that heals. And that name is true when times are good and today in this pandemic we're going through. So when you see the baptism of Jesus, what you see there is God entering into humanity's suffering and pain. But it doesn't end there. That's the beauty of this. This immersion of God with us carries through into the ultimate action when Jesus, or God himself, immerses himself into our death through his death on the cross. God is with us, even in our death. But that's not the end of the story. Death never consumes love. Love always consumes or triumphs over death. Always. Love always wins. Easter, it's coming, is the fulfillment of God with us. And it's coming. In Easter, it's God who sets the timeline. Not us, and definitely not the virus. How will I choose to get through this? The God of the universe is the God with us. I focus on that. I stay close to God. I trust that God is the God who has immersed himself in our suffering, in our pain, in our fear, in our anxiety. And I throw myself on his love for humanity, on his love for me. That's what we do. That's how we get through this. And that's the message we can give to the world. In this time of, you know, we're going through Lent right now, but we're coming to Easter. My prayer is that the church, as it enters into the Easter season, will demonstrate and live out the hope that is found in Easter. And the hope isn't a wish. It's something we are sure of. That the resurrection, that love, actually sets the timeline. Nothing else does. So don't forget, Easter is coming. Bless you guys. Let me just pray as we close off here. Father, we thank you for the hope that is found in your word in Scripture that reveals that our hope is rooted and grounded in you. And Jesus, you see our fear. You see, Lord, what it is we're struggling with. You see, Lord, how some of us, you know, health-wise, we're struggling. Mental health-wise, we're struggling. Financially, we're struggling. But God, we realize that our hope doesn't come in any of those things. Our hope, Lord, comes in you and you alone. So Jesus, as you mature your church, as you strengthen your church through these times, Lord, draw us closer to you, to know you more deeply, to follow you more closely. So Father, we just thank you for your presence here. Lord, I just pray for everyone who is watching right now, Lord, that you would minister to them, whatever their state of mind is at this point, whatever they are going through, what they are experiencing throughout all of this. I pray, Lord, that it would be your love, your words that would dominate their thoughts. And Father, teach us, show us, Lord, how to, as Paul said, to fix on those things that are pure and lovely, admirable and holy. Help us, Lord, to walk, to have a mind that's focused on you, that's fixed on you, and to pursue you, Jesus. So Father, we just ask you to come, and as we pray for one another in our small groups virtually, and as we connect with one another through the phone or whatever, Lord, would you come and would you minister to us? Reveal your presence to us. And we say, Lord, for our neighborhoods, for our city, for our nation, for our world, let your kingdom come. Amen. Well, bless you guys. Have a great week, and we'll touch from time to time throughout this week. Thank you.